Praise God. Hallelujah. We on? Thank you, praise team. Catherine had a musical today. No, I didn't. It lasted all of 15 minutes. But if you've never seen 12 3-year-olds stand on the stage and sing, it's comedy. But I didn't tell Catherine that. I was proud and happy daddy watching her do her thing. Amen. It's good that we can have fun in our walk with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise your name. Glory to your name, Lord. Well, tonight we are talking about waiting well. Waiting well. We can wait unwell. Just because time passed and you didn't get what you thought you was going to get doesn't mean you waited well. We can wait well, or we can wait unwell. And God wants us to wait well. And so sometimes there are things that we are believing God for, trusting God for. It could be a house. It could be a spouse. It could be a ministry. It could be a healing. It could be a transaction that you're waiting for. It could be an answer to a question, an answer to a situation, vision to know what to do, where to go, and how to do it. You may be waiting for a job to manifest. You may be waiting on a situation to turn around. You may be waiting on a deal. You may be waiting on a car. You may be waiting on a building. But usually, most people are waiting for the manifestation of something. God has spoken it to them. It aligns with his word. He spoke it to their heart, and they are awaiting the manifestation of it. It's not manifested yet, but they are waiting for the manifestation of it. And so then the question becomes, what do we do while we're waiting? Some people may ask, when, God, when? What do we do while we're waiting on the manifestation of the promise? We know the promise will manifest. If it's God's word, if it's God's promise, it will manifest in due season. But what do we do while we're waiting? Well, some may say, nothing. I'm just waiting on the Lord. But there are some things that we can do while we're waiting on the manifestation of the promise. And it's important to enjoy the moment that you're in. Enjoy what has manifested. Enjoy what is in front of you instead of being discouraged about what's not manifested yet. Because there are things that have manifested. There are things that have come. There are things that God has blessed you with. And instead of being out of sorts about what you don't have, you need to celebrate and be thankful in all things for what you do have. Some people say, I'm tired of waiting. It's been a year. It's been 10 years. It's been 5 years. I'm tired of waiting. But Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. It says, be not weary in well-doing. It doesn't say be not weary in unwell-doing. We're talking about waiting well. Be not weary in well-doing. It's okay to become weary in unwell-doing. If you're doing something that's not God and you're tired out because it's not well-doing, it's not a God thing, then it's okay to turn loose of that and let go and get on to a God thing. Get on to what God said, do. Be not weary in well-doing. Are you doing well? Are you doing that thing God said do? Or are you doing that thing that people expect you to do? Are you doing that thing that God said do? Or are you doing that thing that your neighbor said, well, I'm doing it, you should do it too? That's not well-doing. And if you spend months, years doing things that aren't well, and you're tired out because of it, get off of it. You're weary and doing something unwell. But if you're doing what God has called you to do, you're where God has called you to be, don't grow weary in well-doing. For at the proper time, in due season, you shall reap. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Some people say, I'm tired of waiting. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. How are the promises of God inherited? How should the promises of God be walked into? When that manifestation comes, how should you enter into it? Faith and patience. Faith and patience. You have need of patience so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the thing that's been promised. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. For you have need of what? Endurance. That word endurance there is also translated patience. You have need of endurance and patience so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by what? Faith. The just shall live by faith. I can't see it with my physical eyes, but I know it in my spirit, and I stand on his word concerning it. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Now, the direct context of this passage is dealing with Christ. But whether it's Christ or any other promise of God, the same thing applies. Patience to receive what has been promised. Endurance to receive what has been promised, and not shrinking back from what God has promised. You can enjoy certain things while you are waiting for that promise to manifest. And here's just a few things that you can enjoy. First and foremost, your relationship with God. Simply enjoying your relationship with God. If I don't have anything else, I don't have any money, I don't have anywhere to live, I don't have a car, I don't have clothes. We'll get you some clothes. We're not going back to Genesis. In the garden with the cool breeze. Feel a little draft. If I don't have anything else, I have my relationship with God. I can talk with him. I can walk with him. I can pray to him. I can hear from him by his spirit. I can read his word. I can meditate. I can be changed in his presence. I can enjoy my day-to-day walk and day-to-day fellowship with God. If nothing else happens, if nothing else comes my way, what has already come my way, this glorious salvation, I can celebrate and rejoice in my relationship with God and who I am in Christ, knowing that he loves me, I love him, and we are in relationship, fellowship, and communion together. Two, you can enjoy blessing other people while you're waiting for your blessing to manifest. No matter how big or small, whether you're giving someone a hug, a handshake, a word of encouragement, or you're giving them a new house, there's something you can do to be a blessing to someone else. Whether it's praying for them, encouraging them, helping them clean something, picking something up for them, letting them know that there's something in the nose. There's something you can do. Because a true friend will let you know that. I digress. Even if you don't have everything that you desire concerning ministry, minister the best you can now. What is in your hand now? How can you minister now? How can you flow now? Remember, ministry is not about the resources. Resources help, no question. But ministry is about people. And as long as you have a mouth, you have a resource. As long as you have a heart and a God intent, you have a resource. And you can share Jesus with someone else. You can pray for someone else. You can encourage someone else. You can minister the word to someone else. There's something you can do concerning ministry without having the ideal circumstances. It doesn't take every resource in the world and every advantage in the world to minister the best you can with what you have right now. You can enjoy creation. Go out on your patio and just look up like Abraham did. God, you created the stars. When it's a sunny day, go out and say, Lord, I thank you for the sun. I thank you for all of creation. God, you created the heavens and the earth. Look at the trees. Look at the mountains. Enjoy creation. These are things that you can enjoy while you are waiting. Enjoy the seemingly little things. Lord, I thank you that I have two arms. Because some people don't have two arms. So I thank you that I have two arms. Thank you that I have two eyes, that I can see, that I can hear, that I can walk and stand. If you don't have two arms, Lord, thank you for one arm, and thank you for my other arm that's being regenerated. There is something, there is always something you can thank God for without getting upset and frustrated about what you don't have yet and what hasn't manifested. In everything, give thanks. You can thank God for your family. You can thank God for your church family. You can thank God that you have somewhere to sleep. You have clothes to put on. It may not be yet what it's going to be, but it's something that the grace of God has done for you. So we should be thankful. We should always have a thankful heart and be appreciative. This is waiting well without throwing a fit. Enjoy the things that have manifested and don't worry about the things that have not. God will take care of that. You take care of focusing on Him, focusing on His will, plan, and purpose for your life, doing the best you can do, and let God make up the rest. Waiting well. While you're waiting, you want to make sure that you keep your eye on the promise of God. You keep your eye on what God said. Sometimes when something has taken a long time to manifest, people take their eyes off the promise. And they start to settle. And they take an alternative route. While you're being faithful with what God has given you, with what God has placed in front of you, don't let yourself lose sight of the promise that He has made to you. It's still there. It's still manifesting. Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, somebody say by faith. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise. He was not seeing the full manifestation of what was promised yet. He was living as an alien in the promised land, as in a foreign land, and he was dwelling in tents. He had a tent because the promise hadn't manifested yet. Tents are okay for a season as long as you don't get your eye off the promise. Don't get used to your tent. Don't think that your tent is the be-all, end-all of what God is doing. He dwelled in tents momentarily because he had to while the promise is manifesting. If you're driving a broke-down car right now, or you're riding the bus, or you're walking, that's a tent. You do what you need to do while the promise is manifesting. But don't get so attached to the tent that you've now let go of the promise. Don't get so familiar with the tent that you let go of what God said of the real promise, the real blessing. We all have tents that we're dwelling in at the moment in different areas of our life. The challenge is not to get so attached to the tent that you forget what God has promised. You forget what God has said. Matthew chapter 25, Verse 14. For it is like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. Notice the one with the 2 talents didn't say, well, I don't have 5 talents, I can't do anything. No, he took what he had. He took what was in his hand and he did something with that. Not worrying about what he didn't have, but being appreciative of what he did have, he did business with it. But the one who received 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. When you were being faithful with the little things, the promise hasn't manifested yet, but you do have something that you could do, something that you could be faithful with. You get to enter into the joy of your master. There is joy in stewarding what has manifested, stewarding what God has put in your hand. Maybe you've got 1 and he hasn't put 2 in your hand, but you've got 1. Maybe you have 2, you didn't get the 5 yet, but you got the 2. Being faithful in the little things is a key to waiting well. What are you doing with what has manifested? What are you doing with what God has put in your hands? Well, Brian, I'm waiting for big money to manifest, and then I'll give to that ministry. If you won't give $1 now, you won't give $10,000 later. Right. Brian, I'm waiting for the perfect house, and then I will have a Bible study there. If you won't be faithful in the shack you have now, if you won't be faithful in the tent that you have now and do what you can do with the dwelling that you have now, how can you expect to enter into a greater dwelling? What is in your hand now? What are you being faithful with now? Brian, why are we... That's kind of heavy. Kemp, that's kind of heavy, bro. Why are we putting coins, change in here? That's nothing. That's just a little bit. No, God does not waste. I'm not going to break it, brother. When Jesus fed the 5,000, there were fragments left over. And he didn't just leave them on the ground. He commanded his disciples. He said, pick them up so that nothing is wasted. Right. If you have a penny, if you have $1, if you have $5, if you have $10,000, whatever amount that you have today, don't waste it. Well, Brian, I'm waiting until I get more time, and then I'll do something. If you have a minute now, use it. If you have an hour now, use it. If you have a week now, use it. Don't let it go to waste. Ephesians 5:18, redeem the time. For the days are evil. Redeem it. Redeem that penny. Well, Brian, I don't give an offering because I don't have anything to give. If you won't give the pennies that you have, you won't give the dollars when God promotes you there, the hundreds of dollars, the thousands of dollars, the tens of thousands of dollars, the millions of dollars when God promotes you there. Learn how to be faithful now with what God has put in your hands. This is key to waiting well. Brian, I'm waiting for the perfect to come before I do anything. And some people have the attitude, if I can't do everything, I won't do anything. You don't have to be able to do everything yet to do something now. This is key to waiting well. There are many things that you could be doing right now. Well, Brian, they seem so small. You start with the small and you work your way up. You start with what's in your hands and you allow God to increase you there. Little upon little, line upon line, here a little, there a little, allow God to increase you. Some people may increase faster than others for a variety of reasons, but don't look to the left or the right. You stay in your lane that God has called you to and expect God to increase you in your due season. And in the meantime, some people say, yeah, Brian, it's a mean time. That waiting is a mean time. It doesn't have to be mean. You can enjoy where you are now. Well, Brian, I'm single. I don't have a spouse. Enjoy your singleness. There are benefits to being married, and there are benefits to being single. Each status has its own challenges. You don't need to be anxious to get from one to the other. If you're single, enjoy your singleness. Enjoy your relationship with God, the time that you have with God while you're single. When you get married and you have a family, the time is still there, but you have to be more disciplined with the time because it's not freely there in abundance like it was. So you have to lay hold of the time. You have to redeem the time. You have to grab the time and wrestle it down and say, you will obey me. But while you're single and you're waiting on that spouse from God, don't get in a hurry like Abraham and Sarah did. When we get impatient, we tend to try to make it happen. I'm going to make the promise happen. And the end result is something that you're more frustrated about now than when you didn't have it. I'm going to make this relationship work. I know he's not born again, but I can help him. Why don't you help him before y'all get married? I know she's not good for me, but she'll change when we get married. I'm not going to say people can't change, but it's rare. The person you married when you was 18, 20, 25, 30, however old you were, they've grown. But if he wouldn't lift a finger to do a dish then, Don't be surprised if he won't lift a finger to do a dish now. That was funny, Michelle. Don't get in a hurry and try to make the promise manifest. It will manifest in its own time, in its own season. This is another key to waiting well. I'm going to force this relationship to work. I'm going to force this ministry to work. I'm going to force this career to work. And you end up somewhere that God didn't intend you to be. No, I'm going to wait for the promise whose builder and architect is God. It said they waited as aliens in the promised land because they looked for the city and the way of living in the city that God promised. They looked for a manifestation that was God. They didn't want natural, they wanted God. As you're waiting for the promise to manifest, make sure you're waiting for the God thing, the God deal, the God spouse, the God house, the God car, the God ministry, not something where you said, here's my maidservant Hagar, do something there, because God's taking too long to give us kids. We will fabricate the promise and then say, look what the Lord has done. And God wasn't in it. God didn't drive it. You didn't consult with God. You got tired of waiting and you went and did your own thing because you refused to be patient. You refused to wait on God's time and God's season. If you need to get a tent, get a tent, but just know that the tent is not the promise. Make sure you never call the tent the promise. This is a temporary point on my way to what God has promised. If the bill has to get paid, pay the bill. If you got to get from point A to point B and you got to get a clunker to do it, get the clunker, but never call the clunker the promise. This is a tent until I get to the promised land, until I get to the God vehicle. That I truly enjoy and am blessed by. Never be ashamed of the tent, though. Never compare your tent to the manifestation of someone else's promise. You have your own due season. If your house is a tent right now, keep it clean. Invite whoever can fit in it to come over. Maintain it. Praise God in it. Thank God for it. But know that it's a tent on your way to the promise. If you have a vehicle that's a tent, who doesn't have a vehicle that's a tent? We all want to get, we going to better. If you have a vehicle that's a tent, wash it, keep it clean, maintain it, be faithful with the little thing, allowing God to supply more to you, better to you. But we're all in different individual and personal seasons. Understand that lane and don't look around comparing yourself. It is unwise to compare yourself while you're waiting. Well, their blessing has manifested. Where's mine? Their ministry has manifested. Where's mine? You don't compare yourself. You keep your eyes focused and fixed on Jesus. You keep your eyes fixed on God's call in your life and the pace that God is taking you at. Well, Brian, how long do I have to wait? If it's God, you should be willing to wait forever. But many times, if you're willing to wait forever, you won't have to wait forever. How deep does your hope, your expectancy go? When it runs deep, you say, Lord, this is you. It's confirmed in your word. It's confirmed by the Spirit. Now, if it's not God, and it's not confirmed against his word, and it violates his word, you need to make an adjustment. Attune your spiritual ear to the voice of God, and not your feelings, not your emotions, or not the opinion of your Aunt Myrtle Faye. She said, and she's gone to church for a long time, it must be true. No, listen here to what God is speaking to you. That still small voice, but that very certain voice. In the kingdom of God, it's not about feeling, it's about knowing. It's called your knower, the hidden man of the heart. The truth becomes amplified in your spirit, and you know it's God. And if that knowing produces feelings, then great. But you never start with a feeling, you start with the truth. You start with the knowing. I know, or I don't know, but I'm going to find out. I'm going to get before God, I'm going to get into his word, and make sure that this be of God. God wants us to know his word, know his will, hear his voice, and follow the path that he set out. Redeeming the time, being careful of trying to make the promise happen, are both critical to waiting well. Patience. What is patience? It's waiting for the desired outcome with contentment. Are you able to be content while you wait? Content means you're not throwing a fit because of what hasn't happened. Contentment is you're not depressed, regressed, stressed. You're not going off because it hasn't manifested yet. You are content where you are, all the while knowing that more is coming. Contentment is the ability to stand there, wait, without getting over into the flesh to make it happen. Contentment. I appreciate what has manifested. I appreciate what I do have, even though everything that I know God has for me has not yet manifested. This is the will of God for you, to be thankful in everything, in every situation, because there is something that God has done for you. And at the core of that, it is your salvation, your relationship, your walk with him. That is something that many, many people don't have that you can be thankful for. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Patience is waiting for the desired outcome with contentment without looking for an alternative. Well, this hadn't manifested. It's been longer than I would like. Let's go to plan B. If it's God, you stick with plan A. If it's not God, you need to regroup and get on plan A. Patience is also giving something or someone time it needs to produce fruit without quitting on it or throwing in the towel or exerting wrath on that person because they aren't growing fast enough or changing fast enough. Brian, I've been waiting on this person to change, this person to come to Christ, my husband, my wife to change. Well, he's not changing fast enough. But she's not changing fast enough. Patience with something or someone requires you to be able to be content with where they have come to without exerting wrath because of where they're not yet. It's giving that situation, giving that someone the time it needs to produce the fruit that is to come. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with your own growth. And be patient with others. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 starts off with love is patient. Whether you're waiting on a situation to turn around or you're waiting on a person to turn around, and you need to be walking in love, which means walking in patience, learn to enjoy the place that you've come to. You're not where you're going, but you're not where you used to be. God is doing something. God does have a plan for your life. God does have a plan for the ministry he's called you to. We need to make sure that we're being diligent to do the things concerning that. But while we're being diligent to do the things that we know to do, if it hasn't manifested yet, continue to be patient. Continue to wait and wait well. God is faithful. If he promised it, he will bring it to pass. If he said it, it will be done. We have to enjoy what he's put in front of us. We have to enjoy the things that we do have and not worry about the things that we don't. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Pastor Richard, are you coming or do you? Okay.
Thank you, brother. That was a $10,000 message. So y'all divvy it up and put it in that bucket right there. That was awesome. Awesome. Excellent wisdom. Excellent wisdom. Praise God. Well, we appreciate you being here. Thank God for you. Thank you. Let's stand and praise God for a few minutes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. We thank you, Father, for the word that we have heard. We thank you for your spirit that teaches us. Your word teaches us wisdom, teaches us understanding. And Father, I thank you that you continually lead us and guide us in truth, triumph, and victory by your Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you that the words that we've heard tonight are truth, and they are from your heart to ours. So Father, we choose to take those words, to take your word and to allow it to be planted and let it grow in our hearts to produce much fruit. Thank you for patience. Thank you for endurance. Thank you for wisdom in every area of our lives. And Father, we also thank you for your promise that you have made to us, and we will not be slack in proclaiming and receiving your promises, because we know you are faithful, Father. You are faithful, even when we are faithless. I thank you, Father, that you bring all things to pass. You said it, you will do it. And it has already been done, and it's on its way to us. We thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Oh, we praise you, Father. We glorify you. We worship you tonight. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that your hand is on each of us individually and collectively, Father God, that you have a plan for us, for each household, and for the household of faith. And I thank you that you are revealing that plan as we go. And we thank you for it, Father. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I call you blessed. I say that you are highly favored, surrounded with his favor. His goodness goes before you. His mercy encompasses you. You are his favorite. And he has poured everything. He's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness in his promises. And as you receive those promises, you become partakers of his nature, calling things that be not as though they are, and seeing them come to pass. Everywhere you go, you are the sweet-smelling savor, or the sweet-smelling aroma of the presence of God and the knowledge of God in every place. People know when you walk in, because the atmosphere changes because of his glory on your life. You are blessed, and whom the Lord is blessed, none can curse. Go with God, and we will see you on Sunday. Yes, Sunday.